invite your attention to the reading of God's Word, recorded for us in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning to read at verse 14. That's found on page 1493 of the Pulpit Bible. Before we go to God's Word, join me in prayer. Gracious God, we pray now that you would send the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts, lest these words sound like an idle tale. So that's Christ's name, amen. Again, it would be like again is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents of money, to another two, and to another one, according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five talents went out at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one who had two talents gained two more. But the man who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five talents brought out the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had received two talents came and said, Master, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful for a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow, where you had not sown, and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with a banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of our Lord is everlasting. I love the talents. I love to teach them the talents, and I love to study the talents. And I was thinking what I would speak on, and this is one of my favorite talents, and it suddenly reminded that I spoke on this talent about, I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was before Earl retired, so it's got to be close to 9 or 10 years, and so I debated, should I do it again? And then out of somewhere, a little voice came to me and said, don't flatter yourself. There's not a soul in that church. Remember what was said in this pulpit 10 years ago? Go for it. But I do kind of feel sorry for Earl and Harry. For about 4 or 5 years ago, I was invited out to Preston Memorial ARP Church in Red Level, Alabama, to speak at the Pastor Appreciation Day at their homecoming. And Earl and Harriet went with me. And Earl, I think I spoke from this parable. So I feel sorry for you. But it's good stuff. You need to hear it again. A fit return. It was Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus was on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. And they said to him, Master, give us a sign of the end time so we won't be surprised when it comes. Kind of give us a hint what to look for. And he told them several parables, and this was one of them. The first parable that Jesus told was the parable of a sower. A farmer went out to sow seeds, and following the parable, the disciples said, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus said, because in the parables, within the parables, are hidden the mysteries of the kingdom. So if the parables, within the parables are the mystery of the kingdom, I think it behooves us to not spend a lot of time in the parables. And there, hopefully, we'll get a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Dr. Neil Lightfoot, in his book, The Lessons from the Parables, said there's more truths in this parable than any parable Jesus told. There's at least 6 divine truths in this parable. And if we push the point, we may even could say there's 7, but there's definitely 6 divine truths. Truth number 1, everybody got something. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. When God gives talents, abilities to his people, everybody got something. Nobody's left out. I've had people tell me, oh, when the talents came out, I was behind the door. I didn't get one. But friends, be assured that God has given a talent to every person here. You have a unique ability that is uniquely fitted to work in God's kingdom. That's one of the truths, the first truth of this parable. Truth number 2. Nobody got the same thing. And isn't that a blessing? Can you imagine living in a world where everybody had the same talent? Everybody wanted the same thing. Look how many people would have been disappointed when I married my wife, if that was the case. But very fortunately, nobody got the same thing. They all got different. One got 5 talents. 1, 2. 1, 1. These were great gifts. A talent was a unit of weight, about 75 pounds, and we're told that a talent was probably $1,000. So even the guy that got the least, look what he got. $1,000. A denarii was a common wage for a day's work, worth about 25 cents. If you put a pencil to this, then even the guy that got the least got what it would take him 10 or 12 years to earn. So God is gracious and loving when he poured his talents out upon his people. Now, and it's interesting to note what happened when the slaves or the servants got their talents. They immediately went out and began to work. And I said we might could push this and find the 7th truth, but it's certainly a reminder that God's work is done out there. It's not done in here. Because it said that they went out and began to trade out into the world and began to work for the master. And that's like it is today. Many years ago, I was at missions conference at Bonclark, and we had a speaker for Dr. Anderson that was from the First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And he gave an example I'll never forget. And he said the church, he compared the church to a mess hall. He compared the pastor to the mess sergeant. And he said in the army, the soldiers go out and they fight. They become tired. They're hungry. They come back into the mess tent, and there the mess sergeant has got a delicious meal prepared for him. I knew right off he wasn't in the same army I was in. But nevertheless, he said that he has a meal cooked up for you. The soldiers come in, they eat, they gain strength, they get reinvigorated. They go back out into the world to fight another day. That's like it is with the church. We go out and work, we should, for the master. We come in on a Sunday morning. We get a good meal of spiritual food that reinvigorates us, encourages us. Again, instills in us the desire to go out and fight another day for the master. Now, remember, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, what was the acid test? When you decided whether you were a sheep or a goat, sheep going to the joy of a master, goat otherwise. The acid test was, how have you treated your fellow man? What have you done for your fellow man? Because Christ said, I was in prison and you visited me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and you took me in. So again, we're reminded that God's work is done out there, not in here. Truth number three. The way we use our gifts are just as important as the end result. I think it's very evident in this parable. Because the man who got five made five, that gave him ten. The man had two, made two more, that was four. Certainly ten's a lot more than four. 2.5 times as many as four. And yet, when they came to appear before to give account of the goods, what did the master say to both of them? Well done, good and faithful servant. And into the joy of your master. So that tells us very clearly that we should not be so hung up on our success, but what we should do is use our talents to the best of our ability. That is what this parable teaches. But one servant failed. He failed terribly. I think there's three reasons that he failed. Number one, I think he was lazy. Because the master said at the end, he called him a lazy servant. Translations have slothful, but it means lazy. He was lazy. Number two, I think he doubted his own ability. He didn't think he could do it. Very clearly, he said, I was afraid. I was afraid I would fail. I was afraid I couldn't do it. People listen to me, particularly young people. Rest assured that if God calls you to do a task, he will equip you to do it. Have no fear. You can do it. If God calls you to do it, you need not be afraid. You need not doubt. I don't mean to be arrogant and all-knowing, but rest assured that if God calls you for a task, he will equip you to do it. And then the third reason I think he failed was that he had a skewed view of his master. He said he called him almost a skinflint. I knew you were hard. You were stingy. You gathered where you didn't sow. You were almost called him dishonest. The man gave everything he had when he went on his talent, went on his trip. Said he gave all he had to him. I'm reminded of how easy it is to be denied blessings because you get a distorted view of someone. In the mid-80s, I was attended the General Senate, and something was discussed, and a man stood up about halfway down that I'd never seen before and responded to the discussion. And the man came across to me as one of the most arrogant, self-centered, all-knowing people I'd ever known, I'd ever seen. I didn't know him. I asked the fellow beside me, I said, what rock did that character crawl out from under? And they said, oh, he's one of the pastors down at the First Presbyterian Church in Columbia. One of about six pastors who just came in their denomination, and I said, well, I think I can do without him. So I held that man at arm's length for almost 20 years, and it was not until 2003 that I was appointed to the committee to rewrite the order of worship for Presbyterian Church. And on that committee was this individual by the name of Mark Ross. He was the convener of a committee, convened a committee, and we elected Mark permanent chairman. Well, I said, I don't know how this is going to work out. And we met every other month for 2 days in New England Inn in Greenville, South Carolina for 4 years doing this task. And about the third meeting, I decided, you know, this guy's not all that bad. And about the fourth meeting, I said, you know, this guy's a real prince. And so I went to him and I said, Mark, I owe you an apology. He said, what's that? I said, the first time you spoke on the minutes on the floor of the Senate, I thought you were the most arrogant person I'd ever seen. He said, goodness, what did I say? I said, I don't have any idea. Don't remember. But I said, I want you to forgive me because I was wrong. And my friends, one of the blessings in my life now has been the close personal relationship I've developed with Dr. Mark Ross. And so how about you? And I told Mark that day. I said, Mark, you know, I'm concerned. How many other times in my life that I have made snap judgments like this and wrote people off? How many more blessings have I missed because of this? So what about you? Think back in your life. Is anybody that you've made a split judgment on that you may well be denying blessings? It's not too late. Truth number four. A time of reckoning will come. And just as these servants stood before their master and gave account of their actions, you and I will stand and give account of our actions. And what will it be? Will we hear those probably the sweetest words in all of Scripture? Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Or will we hear some of the harshest words I've written in Scripture? Depart from me to the outer darkness, where there will be gnashing of teeth. Truth number five, and my friend, I confess to you that this gives me more heartburn than any of us. There's no rest for the weary. When there was still work to be done, when this one brought back his undone task and said, I didn't do anything, what did the master give? What did the master do with him? Did he find somebody that hadn't done anything? No, he gave it to the guy who had worked the hardest, the guy who had turned 5 talents into 10. He gave him that task to do. Now, a few weeks shy of my 80th birthday, I've convinced myself that I've earned the right to retire from teaching Sunday school after 50 years. Convinced myself that I can retire after being on the session or an elder for 48 years. But after studying this parable and other scriptures, I've decided that the retirement is not a word known to the kingdom. The reward for work in the kingdom is more work, not retirement. So Sunday school class, you're stuck with me for a while. I was planning to quit. But God acts in strange ways, doesn't he? Truth number six. Use it or lose it. We will either use these gifts that God has given us, or we will lose them. Charles Darwin, the great scientist who was born in England 200 years ago this year, when he was just a mere child, the old master said that, lad, God has touched his fingers, and he can take a piano and do with it what others have never thought of doing. He is destined to be a world-renowned piano player. But that's not where his interest was. It was in science, the animal kingdom. He rewrote the book on how we view animals. And after he retired, his biography said, I thought I would go back and take up a piano. And his chagrin and unbelief, he was totally tone deaf. Could not distinguish one note from another. So, my friends, if God has given you a gift, let me rephrase that. God has given you a gift. If you have not used that gift, if you have not already lost it, you will lose it. So this is what the parable teaches. In Psalm 116, the writer of that psalm, and we sang it earlier, the writer of that psalm said, what can I do? What is a fit return for me to give back to God in repayment for all the things he's given me? What possibly can I do to repay God for the many blessings that he has poured out upon me? What can I do? I think the answer is in this parable. And it's very simply, your best. Give your best to the master. That's what he calls for. And if we will do that, friends, on that day when we stand to give account, we will hear the sweetest words in all of Scripture. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. But if we do like the slothful servant did, if we refuse to use our talents that God has given us, we will hear the harshest words, depart from me. It's up to you.